All right. Now, here is the same picture, but a little different. This is the richness of this system, the dialectic system. Now, when you want to go the way of lying, you can do it so cleverly. This would be my thesis that I start with. This would be the opposite over here, called the antithesis or the antithesis. Okay? And this then is the synthesis. But watch how tricky it can become. That's just the simplicity of it. That's called a triad. Now, I can add that this number three synthesis, which tries to combine the essence of this with the essence of that, which is impossible. It's a total law of contradiction. Can't be done. You can't do it. You can't put God and Satan together. You can't put religion and unreligion. By the way, in politics today we do. The courts have said that an unreligion is the same as a religion. In other words, if somebody says, I don't believe in God, an atheist, he can come into court and swear. What would it mean? For the founders, you could not. For the founders who built it without dialectic said this, that if a man believes in God, then he can be a citizen of the United States and enter into court and defend his rights. But if he does not believe in God, he's an atheist over here, he can hold it as a conscience, but he cannot express it in public. And he will not be allowed to defend himself in a court of law. So, an atheist could not go in because you had to swear on the Bible. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Because he couldn't say it until the 20th century, atheists were not allowed to come into court and defend themselves. Now, they could hold it as an opinion inside, but they could not express it. So they were very cautious, and that's what the 19th century was all about. Trying to find ways, trying to find some way of synthesizing the two. Now, they've achieved it. The 20th century court has allowed now that unreligion should be taught as much as religion, or religion should be taught as little as unreligion. So now, religion has taken a hit, because before we were free, now you're no longer free. Now you have the same rights as unreligion has, and they have the same privileges as you have. So everybody lost. It's trickery. Now, watch the synthesis. The synthesis becomes a new thesis. And so now, I have a new antithesis over here, which then can become a new synthesis up here. Now, this new synthesis is called evolution. I started here, I went to a higher order here, through passing through over here to get to here, so I could go over to here and get up to here, so I could go over to here and get up to here, and now I've evolved, and now there is no truth. So the position that I had here, I've now compromised the way to get to truth, which is ever growing, ever expanding, and never arriving. Now there's one principle in philosophy that the Greeks thought up years ago. It's called Zeno's paradox. In Zeno's paradox, there's the wall, and here's me. Now, see if you can think this out. I'm going to reach that wall, but I put this condition on myself, that I can only go halfway at a step. The only thing I can do is go halfway. So, I reach this wall by making my first step, I'm halfway there. Now, I make my next step, there's only a fourth left. I'm almost there. But my next step has to be just to here, and my next step, and my next step, and I never reach the wall. It's a paradox, because I'm obviously getting closer, because I can keep making infinite steps, but I'll never reach it. It's a paradox. Seems to the natural man like a child, that you ought to be able to get to the wall, because you're very close. You're almost there, but you never can arrive. That's the way with the dialectic. Evolution can never take you to where you want to go. It's an illusion. It's a complete contradiction. It still is subject to the law of contradiction. If I hang on to this, I lose all of that. What's wrong with losing all that this world has to offer? Tell me what it is you gain from taking all that this world has to offer. How much happiness does it bring? How much fulfillment? The answer is zero. Nobody has ever found life. You cannot find life in life. Life comes from outside. It comes as a gift, and it only comes to those that have failed. Jesus said, I came for not for those that are righteous. I didn't come for A. I came for B. Those that have failed and are tempted now to do C. and offer you a better way. I'll just give it to you as a free gift. Undeserved. The only thing you have to do is admit you were a sinner. You have to come clean. What's wrong with our church today? There's no cleanness in the pulpit. Pastors are filthy. They're liars. They're deceivers. I'm a pastor. I know. They fool themselves before they fool the people. And the people love to have it so. They love to play games because then they don't have to get at their sins. So those pastors are totally unable to have a pure church because they themselves are impure. That's why church growth is built upon the evolutionary pattern. Works perfectly. Because you never arrive at truth. You incrementally move along, appearing to be going somewhere. But the Bible says, but they never arrive at truth. Truth is in heaven. Truth is a gift of God. Truth is not on the earth. There is no truth on the earth. Everything on the earth is a lie. That's why it'll perish. It'll perish because it's not true. It'll perish because it's not of God. You have no life in you. Jesus said, I have life in me. I came that you might live. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No end. Not only biological life, but zoe, which in the Greek means to have spiritual life, which nobody has. Until Jesus came, there was no spiritual life except through the Old Testament Word of God. There's no spiritual life in Hinduism, Buddhism, fascism, communism, whatever. They're all dead. They're all dead philosophies. They're all vain deceit. They're worthless. They're false. They're not true. So God has taught us not only not to be dialectic, but to see the folly, the foolishness of ever evolving, never getting anywhere. Now, an educational system then, built upon evolution, that form of education would be to transform you from A to B to C, C being a new A to B to C, C being a new, but it goes nowhere. It actually doesn't produce anything but three things: idolatry, immorality, and injustice. You'll never have a just society any longer. It's not possible. It's too late now. If you say, well, let's go back to the original. You can't. You can never get back to the original. You cannot get what the founding fathers started. Why? Because you have to destroy the other. We have no will to destroy it. You could get back there in theory, but you won't get back there in practice. So the only way to do it is to redeem people one at a time. Individual by individual by individual. You say, well, that's too hard. There you have it. So what? Why is hard not the right way? Jesus said, don't enter by the broad gate. This is the broad way. This is the way that you will find foolishness. You'll be common with all men, because all men will travel this road. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. This way is the narrow way. The more difficult is to find people here and bring them back to here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's a free gift. It's just given to people who admit, you know what? There is nothing up here. I'm still here. After all I've done, how many know that you haven't been a good wife? You don't have to raise your hand. How many know that I haven't been a reliable husband? How many know that I haven't been a good husband? You have to know that. You have to know that, you know, you're not what you ought to be or should be or supposed to be. You didn't make it. But there's mercy with God to not only forgive you, but to bring you back and restore you to His image and likeness. That's His whole desire. So all of this is to escape Jesus. You're on this road here, you'll never find Him here. You're not going to find Him here. Because this goes on and on and on. I can keep walking and walking and walking, thinking I'm getting somewhere, and I'm actually going nowhere. That's the world today. If you think the world is surreal or unrealistic, or you can't imagine what anyone is doing in society, you're right. Because we have gone a different way. We are educating people differently. We are educating individuals and groups in a different way than we ever did before. So it's natural that nothing makes sense. So I don't know. Life doesn't seem to make sense. Of course not. It's not like Leave It to Beaver. It's not like Little House on the Prairie. It's not like anything. It's like crazy. Now, unless you're at home in this kind of world, because this is the world you're living in. This was the world when Jesus came. This was the world that the Jews lived in. This has always been the world. The world will never be any different. This is the way it was in the Garden of Eden. So this is not the surprise. All that God wants to do is find one individual here and bring him back over here. That's all. And he can find you anywhere along the path and bring you right to here. Because in the end, you're just going to fall off and come all the way back. You're just going to fall off and come back to the antithesis. And when you do, you can repent again. So the harvest is ripe. It's the laborers. There are a few. The harvest is ripe. It's easy. Everyone, anywhere. I don't care. I could go into the heart of the homosexual community. Piece of cake. Why? I could do more there than in a church. I could go into any bar. I could go into any savage tribe. I could go anywhere in the world. And it's easy to preach the gospel. Why? Because the harvest is ripe. People already know good and evil. They know it. They're not even pretending like they don't know. The worse the world gets, the better it is. When the dark is dark, that's when the light shines the brightest. And we have been called salt and light, but the church today is afraid to be salt or light. And so you're not going to reap the harvest. But that's all right. God will have faithful people anyway. And you are some of those faithful people. You wouldn't come to a seminar like this unless you were crazy. Because you've already seen something. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. You know, this is the kind of politicians we have in the business community and all the stuff that's going on in the churches. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. But it does make sense. It makes this kind of sense. Nonsense. It's all nonsense. So you're not wrong. You are absolutely right. But the issue is not that. So you can analyze that forever. The issue is this. You have to start here, and then you go back to here. That's all. You just go back to his law. You see, it's the law of Moses. It's not Jesus that's bothering the world today. It's still Moses. It's not Jesus that's bothering the world. It's Moses. You can synthesize Jesus. People work at that every day. Christian Marxists, Christian psychologists, Christian whatever. You can add Christian to anything. Christian prostitutes of America. You know, you can add Christian to anything. It's not Jesus. It's Moses. That's what we hate. And that's why God introduced that first. It's the holiness of God that convicts us. It's the holiness of God that condemns our flesh. Jesus did not come to take away the law. He came to establish the law. He came to fulfill the law, finish the law through the Spirit. You and I can live the law in such a way that people say, you know, you're different. You got Jesus. You're like Jesus. I don't see you, I see Jesus. That's Christianity. Christianity is not talk, it's not preaching, it's not interesting doctrines and so on. It's a life. It's a lived life that people can see power and demonstration. That's what's missing in the church today. Now, I say to the few black brothers that are here today and black sisters, I believe that God is going to use the black church and not the white church to finish his work before he comes back. I believe we've thought all we can think and the Jews have done all they can do. I believe it's now time for the black brother, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, to finish and to fulfill his destiny. And today you would think of the least likely to be the black. You'd think, you know, it might be Chinese, or it might be white, or it might be something else. You're wrong. It's going to be the black community that will do it. And probably in a God-forsaken place like L.A. Because God wants the glory. It isn't the degradation that bothers God. It's the deception and the lie. But the harvest is ripe. So if truth is preached into the black community and one repents, that's all you need. We don't need to repent from here. We need to repent from here. It isn't the wickedness that's the problem. It's the hiding of the wickedness and pretending like it's smelling good in God's nostril. That's what he hates. Ooh. That is filthy. Oh, take that away. It was done by your church. I don't like that. God hates what his church is producing. The church is the problem. The whore is the problem. Never the beast. The politic picture, which I'm going to do next hour, is all about politics. And I will show you how politics in from heaven was intended to be, how our own founders set it up, and how today it has been perverted, but I'm not going to go into that part. I'll just go into the part how God set it up and how it was intended to be. Very few people know today how it was intended to be, even those that write books and even those that are lecturing. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying God revealed it. But you need to know is right there in the Word of God. There's nothing new. God is our lawmaker. God is our king. God is our judge. God alone. Not George Bush, not Governor Perry, Schwarzenegger, whatever. None of these people. They are only servants, ministers, and they're called in the New Testament deacons. A deacon is not even as high as a pastor. So George Bush at his highest is just merely a deacon. Do you understand? It's not an exalted, you know, highfalutin thing. It means you are the greatest servant. And if you dare to enrich yourself at the people's expense, I will destroy you. That's how high the office is. So there are spiritual offices, there are then civil offices, there are other offices. Husband and wife is another office. We'll get into that later, next time. It's powerful to realize that the truth, and only the truth, will set you free. So, what is the dialectic? It's behind everything that goes on. Why? Because it's mankind. It's the way mankind operates. You're either here, one, two, cow, horse. That's all. Or, you're here, cow, horse. Playing some kind of a game. It doesn't exist in heaven, and it doesn't exist on earth. If you read the Bible, it's black and white. You're either going to be pure or not. Now, God doesn't mind that you're not, is just don't move. If you're wicked, say so. Just confess. And God will forgive you, and then he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. That's all. Because he will have his way. He is not angry that you sinned. He knew it. How many know that he knew that mankind was going to sin? He had Jesus set up even before the foundation of the world. Jesus, get ready. I don't know, I have a hunch on this one. I have a hunch. That's called foreknowledge. Alphonse. That's called foreknowledge. When God created the world, the plan that he had to redeem was already in place when he created them in the first place. Say, here's where I want mankind to be holy. My children, my sons, my daughters, my people. But I know they won't. I know they'll go here. So I want another plan. This plan is one I'll start with, but I'll immediately introduce this plan. And about 4,000 years into it, he showed that plan. Did you hear what I just said? About 4,000 years after mankind was there, he finally said, Jesus, I think it's time now. Just like, 4,000 years, God. Yeah, that's the time. I want you to go down now. It's the fullness of time. So when Jesus left, he said, I'll be back in a short while. How many know that Jesus was, he must have been wrong? No. He knew because 1,000 years is a day to God. It's still less than a week. Did you know that? It's still less than a week. God started this thing a few thousand years ago. It's not 7,000 years yet. And that's all there is. You're in the last 1,000 already. So the time is short because right now, during the last 1,000, which you're already into, he comes back. During the 6th day, he comes back right after it. So, done. Now the time of man is over. Now it's the time for the black man. I just told you something. It's time for the black man to do his work, and he doesn't get 2,000 years to do it. He only gets a short period of time. You know why? Because black people are doers. They're just practical people. Let's just do it. They don't have to think deeply on it. They just say, that's right. Let's go and do it. So you reach into that community with the truth, not with this. You reach in with the truth, you'll set the captive free. That's where the leadership's going to come from. And that's how the world will be evangelized. And right now, by the way, the world is being evangelized. All among the Hamites of the world. You can go to China, 35 to 40,000 a day coming to Jesus. You can go to India, 15 to 20. I go to these places, by the way. You can go South America, 25,000. You can go to Africa, 20,000 a day, 15 to 20,000 a day. Everywhere in the world, over 100,000 people every single day are coming to Jesus Christ, and it's not a word of it in your paper. You know nothing about it. I go all over the world. And the reason I go is just to see it. I go to Uganda, I've been to Nigeria, I go to Burundi, I go to India, China, Russia. I go everywhere just to see that. I'm always amazed. Wherever you go, thousands of people are ready, prepared. Hindus, Buddhists, it doesn't matter what, Muslims, it doesn't matter. Nigeria used to be 2/3 Muslim, now it's 2/3 Christian. Uganda, it used to be Idi Amin, killing off all the Christians. Now it's almost all Christians. He was a Muslim. It used to be Burundi, the Hutus and the Tutsis, fighting it out, duking it out. The Tutsis, which were the Muslims in the minority, winning, slaughtering the Christians, heaping up their bodies in the hundreds of thousands, dumping them into the rivers. Now, Christians are in charge. The president is a friend of mine. The president is a Hutu. Tremendous story. Everywhere in the world, we're seeing the hand of God reaping the harvest without anyone's knowledge. It's in the third world, so you don't get it on the news. You have no idea what's going on. The world is being transformed everywhere. South America, China, everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. The most God-forsaken, hard-to-reach people are being reached. Iraq, Iran, everywhere. So you hear about the suffering, oh, isn't that terrible, and so on. No, that's the only way you win these people. They don't want to hear words. They want to see deeds. If you believe in this and you refuse to change your position, you refuse to surrender, you refuse to go the easy way, you want to go the true way, then people hear the truth, and the truth sets them free. So, this is the best day. There couldn't be a better day than our day. The best has been saved to the last. Did you know that? God has saved the best to the last. It's the time for the black man to come forward. You can be a leader, brother. It's your choice. But you can't choose until you know that God has a destiny for you. You have not been taught that in the community. But it's wrong. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's powerful. It's so powerful, it's unmistakable. God would be unfair if he came back and some people were still indebted, or some people were still cheated, or some people were still oppressed. No. God has got to be an equal God. If he loves one son, he has to love all sons. It's time for God to equalize everything. That's why the third world today is coming in by the droves. And only Europe and America are dead. You live in a dead, it's a completely dead church here. That doesn't mean there's not any life. When I say dead, I'm speaking the big picture. But the life is not in the mainline church. It's in the house. It's in the back room. It's in the small broken down places. It's in a room like this. This is where the only life and vitality is left. You say it's pathetic. No, it's not. This is where it's real. A 10,000 member church might only have 3 members in it. But you don't dare come to this kind of group unless you're fairly serious. So there are more Christians in this group than there are in a 5,000 member church. And I'll tell you, the pastors know it. They know it. They know they compromised to get the big group and they got nothing. They got everything and got nothing when they got everything. They're winning and they've won nothing. It's a great disillusionment. I'm telling you, the harvest is ripe even among them. They no longer even know the gospel. And they will respond when they hear it spoken. They themselves will repent and say, I was wrong. They will. But right now, you're the one that's being tested. It isn't time to bring them in. We don't even have enough spaces. Right now, it's for you just to get a hold of it. God is testing you. He's training you. He's calling you unto sanctification, which is different than justification. You're not just to be a believer. You're not just to want to be a Christian. You have to become one. Actually become one. So that your marriages. We've had no divorces for 30 years in my church. None. Zero. Why? Do I preach on it? I don't think I've ever preached on it. It's just, we don't believe in it. We just tell them, no, don't do it. Suffer. Yes. Grow up. Yes. And I never deal with a woman. Ever. Always deal with a man. You're the man. You're the head. You're a failure. Tell your wife you're sorry. So I'm sorry. She says, I know you are. God is good. If we could restore marriage, I tell you, people would believe. If we could restore the family, people would believe. Miracles, leg lengthening, money in the bank, this is nothing. No, when you get sin out of people, that's something. That's power. That's a demonstration. God is looking for that purity. And today the pulpits are silent. This is the problem with America. It's not the bad guys. It's not the bankers, the conspirators, the corrupt politicians. It's the pastors. The pastors have compromised themselves as though you could get somewhere by compromise. You can't. You have to be dead. Pastors are not dead. The people won't be dead. keeping people alive. When we invite people to come to our church, it's to die. It's not to live. Hey, come and get wealth and health. And we got a bowling alley in the back, Starbucks over here. No, we don't offer any of that. We just offer death. Come, die. You know, exciting. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, actually, people do like it. People will drive 100 miles more. They will drive 100 miles to come to the church. Why? Because they want truth. You say, well, just a handful. It's all right. Start with a handful. Why do you have to have multitudes? Multitudes are easy. The difficult is a handful. The easy is to be popular and famous and so on. All you have to do is compromise. All you have to do is forget the truth. Give up your position. Give up truth. Don't do it. Stand. Because eventually God will bless those that cling to His truth. Jesus died, yes, but He rose again. And He only had a handful of people, yes, but they now fill the earth. And there is no other institution on the face of the earth that has survived. So this truth is marching on, and it will not end until the whole earth has been reaped. Then the Lord will return. So the Lord is looking for a pure people. He's not looking for a big multitude. He doesn't care. He will have a multitude, but that's not what He's after. What He's after is purity. Purity of heart. Just those that will to be His. And you know what? There's every one of you. Every one of you wants to be a Christian. Every one of you is a believer. I believe Jesus died for my sin. I believe that He's my Savior. I believe, you know, He's the Creator of the world, Son, and all that. I believe all that. And I want to be a Christian. I just don't know how to be. I don't know how to be. This is what is confusing you right here. It isn't anything else. It isn't anything else. It's just this dialectic. This processing. Everybody in politics is a processor. Everybody in the church is a processor. Everybody in business world is a processor. Everybody's a processor. It just needs a center. It just someone's playing a game. They're easily bribed. You can't bribe me. You can't pay me. You can't buy me. You can't scare me. I don't care about life. I don't care about death. When you can't move a person, they're unmovable. The only thing you do is kill them. That's wonderful. Get to go home early. Nothing. Why? I don't care about this world. I don't have a stake in it. I don't care about my grandkids and my children and all that. God will take care of them. The same God that loved me loves them. I've already committed them to Him. So I don't need to be here to help anybody. I'm not a big helper. I just deliver the truth each day. Simple. Every day start like Luther. Get on your knees. Say the Our Father. Love God. Tell Him all your sins. You know, He doesn't want to hear them all anyway. And if He knows them. He just wants to see that you know at least one. That's all. That's all. And He's the one that's going to pick it out, not you. God, I know what you're after. You're wrong. I guarantee if you know what you're after, I guarantee you do not. The one you think is your sin is absolutely not the sin. That's just you game playing again, trying to keep alive as long as you can. Self-preservation is the name of the dialectic tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is how to stay alive by mixing good and evil. You cannot compromise your way to life. You got to stand right here. Don't move. Stay and die. Stand and die. Move and live. This is an illusion. You didn't move. This is the only place to live, right here, in Christ Jesus. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Hope you're blessed. God is good. We'll get into all the politics. I don't know how far I'll get today. I've drawn it all on the board over here if you want to go and look at it. You can't photocopy it, but you could take a picture of it. But you probably can't read it if you do. And I do that deliberately. I want you to work. I didn't want to produce anything for you. Do it yourself. Do it the hard way. Call upon God. Everybody wants, do it for me. Please do it for me. Why? Do it yourself. It means more if you do it yourself. If you just take from somebody else. I can inspire you, but I cannot make you choose. So I will teach you everything about government. I know everything about government. It's not like, you know, I know a little bit. I know it. But I will teach you about it, exactly how it was set up, exactly how any other culture ever set it up. Exactly in a sentence. I don't need 50 sentences. I can tell you immediately, simply, quickly. I drew a picture for you. That picture says it all. You can measure everything by the Word of God. It's all in the Bible anyway. But I've read all the Founding Fathers. I've read all of Cicero and, you know, whoever else ever spoke and said anything about political things. It's nothing. It all boils down to some simple words. Just a few words. Jesus said it all. I have over 100 scriptures I could show you. And I've studied every one of them in the original Hebrew and the original Greek. So I've devoured them. What do they say? What do they mean? Every week we take one. And over the years, we've done over 100. Every one in the Old Testament, every one in the New Testament. Get to the bottom. And there are probably 1,000, maybe more. Probably 2,000, probably 3,000. I don't know how many. But we'll get at all of them. Eventually, we'll dig them all up. But all of those tell us about what is politics? What is government? What is it all? And I'm going to give it to you. It'll be on tape, so you'll have it. But it's powerful to listen to it. Because if you have this simple understanding, you'll understand everything about what God is doing on the face of the earth. Don't worry, He will have His way. It isn't going to go away. It's not going to suddenly degenerate and fall apart. There will be troubles, yes, but that's only to make changes. Just as the wicked have copied God, so God can learn. You can learn from the devil. You see what the devil's doing? This is what he's doing right here. Same old thing. Nothing original here. Well, you know everything that God is doing. He's not doing that. This is what God does, right here. Right, wrong, black, white, yes, no, that's all. Just that. Cow, horse, that's it. That's all. Very simple. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's close in prayer. Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for teaching us the method, the process of lying, of deceiving. One which we're familiar with. We have tried it. We have lived it. We have known it. We have understood it without even knowing how treacherous it was. We've participated in it without realizing how it permeates absolutely everything in our society and, unfortunately, everything in your church. So where is your pure church? Where are those that are set aside wholly for your purposes? Thank God for the few that have gathered in this room to hear the truth, not to judge others, but to set themselves free. To set themselves free so they can set their families free, so they can reach out to a few neighbors. I thank you, Lord, for the smallness of the group. If we are not faithful in small things, who will entrust to us the greater things? The American Revolution wasn't won by a handful of people that just started something. It had been coming for thousands of years. And it finally culminated. And so today, it's time for us to return to your original duty that you gave us. Not only to love God, not only to love our neighbor, but also to submit ourselves unto Caesar. It's a command. It's a command for a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.